Accession number 16663, Reel 1.
Mrs. Kimura, Reel 1. Where were you born, please?
I was born in Sarny.
Which part of Poland is that?
Very far east, middle east, in the way.
Which year?
1923.
What did your father do for a living?
My father was what would be term here mechanical consultant. Consultant of mechanics, I don't know how you would call it. I don't know if things like that exist here.
Did you go to school in Sarny?
Sarny, and because of my father's profession, we moved a lot. So I was as well in Mazowsze, Krasnosielc, let's say, the little town in Mazowsze.
What were you doing on the 1st of September 1939 when the Germans attacked Poland?
I was just back from scout guide camping just because of the war. Our camping was terminated 2 or 3 days earlier, and I was at home listening to the radio and crying.
You felt distressed because of the war?
Immediately.
Had you expected a war to break
no.
out?
No. I was too young. Older people did expect, especially in the last months. Younger, no.
What was the reaction of your mother and father to this?
Well, cried. My father was at the time in Warsaw, so I really don't know. I suppose he was very much distressed. He was patriotic man, like most of Poles were.
Then what happened to you?
Then after about 4 or 5 days, the first man started to appear in our house looking for their units. As the progression of the German army was so rapid, quite a few people had papers calling them to join Polish their units, and it was difficult to tell where those units at the precise moment were, so they were searching for those units. And after 4 or 3 days, already we have few of them. On the 17th, there were over 40 men sleeping on the straw in all our rooms in our house. Am I doing right?
Yes. How did they behave?
They were lost. They didn't know what to do. Really. The news, war news, were sort of patchy. Some came over the radio, but not really that much. We listened eagerly to the news from Warsaw. Starzyński, you know, who was still sort of holding on in Warsaw. But that was really not giving full picture of the situation in Poland. So those men as well really did not know what to do. And that was really as far east as they could go, as the border of Russia was only some 40 kilometers from us. So there was no point of going any further east. On the 17th of September, there was a Russian army broadcast about liberation of Ukrainians. In our case, there were Ukrainians, although up to 1931-30, village people have no conception of nationality, They were locals. They never knew that they were of any nationality. They were not Russian. No, they never. They never thought that they were Russian. They were not Polish. No, we are not lords, because every Pole seems to be to the local people lord. And they were just locals. But nevertheless, by 1939, they were already quite aware of being Ukrainian via Russian and via German propaganda. So here was the Soviet army liberating the Ukrainian from our oppression. And by the way, there was a local man from village staying with my family, because my father was at the time in Warsaw. My mother was alone with three of us. I 16, my younger sister 14, and youngest 9. So he came to see that nothing bad will happen to us, that much of the hate towards us from local people. And of course, at that moment, all those men rapidly gone, disappeared. All the men staying. Where they have gone, I don't know. Were they coming back to their own home? Obviously, everybody was much more to the west. So by that time, it was under either German or Russian occupation. Or were they going south? There was, I don't remember clearly, some radio message that Polish soldiers should go south and cross the border to Romania. And quite a few did. So part of those men might have done it. But I don't know really what happened to them later on.
Was there much disorder in your area?
No. At that time, no. At that time, no. The only disorder which happened, it was precisely on the 17th of September. Of course, some people were not quite honest with the employees. Most of our acquaintances were owners of not so huge holdings, but some land, some were doing even some agricultural work, some not. So quite a few of them employed local people. And one of, or two or three, were dishonest, as always. And those huge bands, huge gangs, were coming, but quite often leaving one, two, three houses and attacking the fourth one. In our house, there was not even a stone thrown. Nothing. So, but Russian quickly put order, stopped that. They, at the time, stopped this kind of behavior.
What was your first sight of the Russian troops or authorities coming in?
Troops. God gracious me. Polish soldiers wasn't dressed or equipped luxuriously or literally, but what we have seen in Russian troops, it is unbelievable. Different shoes on different feet, some tied up with strings. The uniform was of the, I don't know what was it. People used to say it is made out of the stinging net because it was so poor quality. I don't believe so, but it was really very, very poor quality. They were obviously very, very poorly equipped, very poorly dressed, very poor. That is the only description.
Were you in Sarny when on the 17th?
Yes. I saw Russian troops passing. There was a road not further than 50 yards or 70 yards from our house, so I saw them just coming. And the next thing, if it is of any interest, I don't know. In about 1 week time, you could not get a thing, anything, in shops. Because apparently they were given some rubles, some money, the Russians. And they were buying absolutely everything in huge, in amounts available, whatever. If there were shoelaces, they would buy all the shoelaces which were available. So in 1 week or two, all the shops in the town were empty. There was immediately a joke going around. Go and have a look at the Russian ladies. They parade in night dresses. And that was true. They could not imagine that you could sleep in thing like that. It have to be a nice dress. So that was the humor of the time.
When did you start to come into contact with the new Russian authorities?
Personally, I don't think they ever bothered to get in. At least I don't remember. But they would. Well, I don't know, let's say in our little town about 4 or 5 times supply something like a sugar or something like that, some edible provisions. And then everybody was waiting all night through to get some in queue. But that was again not Russian, only sort of, you know, the results of their invasion. The very first time I came personally in contact with Russian was on the 10th of February 1940 at 4 o'clock in the morning, when they came and told us that local people hated us and we cannot live any longer and they are taking us away from those people. That was the month of local people. It was difficult to believe, because in the meantime they as well supplied local villages once or twice with some flour or sugar or something. And every time it was so, local people in the middle of night, young boys mostly, would come and share whatever they could get in the shops with us. So, but nevertheless, that was the official reason. At the time, my mother never was a very organized person and always was very emotional, so she just sat there. Of course, we could not imagine what they will do with us. It was a totally new experience for us. So she was just sitting there, shouting, leave that, don't do that, just sit. They are going to take us to the woods and they are going to kill us, to machine gun us. But as we were, my mother, my two younger sister and I, 16 years old. Russian people are a strange combination. They could be, then they can be cruel, and they quite often have a lot of so-called good heart. So watching this scene, the man who was in command, Russian soldier, came to me as a girl, pack what you can. Your life will depend on it soon enough. He knew precisely what was going to happen to us. Pack that. He, sending on any pretext away his soldiers, there were a few of them around, would dig up something to eat or some warm clothing and add to my packing. So whatever was packed, my younger sister, 9, she was in her bed, and when he came and said, little girl, come, get up, dress yourself. And he said, I shan't, I won't, and what you can do? You know, I shan't dress, and what you can do? She could not understand, of course, this thing. So he came to me and said, look after your sister. She has to dress herself. She has to be dressed, otherwise she will die of cold. And then we were taken to the railway station to goods trucks. Oh, I'm sorry. Goods trucks fitted with 2 shelves on each side, 4 shelves. And roughly about 100 of people were packed. That was the normal size, not huge size of truck. Were packed on these shelves. There were, like in my own case, my family, but there were old people, there were newly born people, mostly. That was the first lot. The deportation took place few times more over the 18 months of the Russian stay in Poland before the Hitler again did not occupy this part of Poland. Anyway, we were at the railway station. Even there, frightened as they were, we could see, acquainted with us, our village neighbors, let's say, peasant, local people, trying with something packed, very likely bread or something to eat, and trying to find a way to throw it, to give it to us. There was no chance. We stayed.
Were they Ukrainians?
Yes. Yes. Definitely so. I mean, the local people who did not know that they were Ukrainian 10 years ago, but that time they were conscious of being Ukrainian, and those were the people. So we stayed, I believe, I don't remember precisely, up to the next morning on the station. Organization in Russia is of the peculiar kind. Nothing is properly organized. So before they managed to tow us away, it took some time. Perhaps they were, you know, collecting more people. The first lot were Poles on the small holding or larger holding, living outside of the town. They were employee, regardless if they were Polish or if they felt being Polish or Ukrainian, but the forestry employees, because they were considered dangerous in the way, because they could help Polish soldiers to hide in the woods, the primitive way. So they were as well extremely dangerous. That was the people who were taken together with us. We were going, of course, east. About 2 weeks in this train. I don't remember precisely. I was in shock at the time, but as far as I can remember, in those 2 weeks, we were given on few occasions some bread, not daily by any means. We were given once or twice some soup, and we were given a few times more hot boiling water. Kipyatok. That is peculiarly Russian thing. With the cold weather, they usually have huge sort of pots, but huge. And there is a woman sitting there and constantly keeping fire underneath, so you can always reach, you know, her and have a hot water. Well, that was, I don't know who it is now, but it was so at the time. It was sort of, you know, normal thing in public places in Russia. So we were given this hot water. And then we were unloaded not that far from Gorky. A little bit to north, I beg your pardon, north of Gorky. Perhaps not east, but north of Gorky. Then I think there were horsecraft, but I, at this stage, and they took us to the little place. It consisted of three or four roughly built from the logs houses, each contained several huge rooms and two or three smaller houses. Each of the room in the larger house was fitted again with the same shelves, two shelves on both sides. And in our first room there was 8 sort of cubics, but not partitioned. Simply, you know, there was a sort of pole to which the shelves have to be attached. So that was sort of wonder. The space of 2 meters by 2 meters was the place for 4 people. So we, being 4, luckily enough, we got this. That is, roughly speaking, 6 foot by 6 foot for 4 people. In the middle of this room, at the far end, there was sort of stove made out of the unfired brick, sort of clay brick, which did have I don't know how do you call, sort of made out of the metal, so the ashes can fall down through it while the wood is being burned at the top hole. And that was our heating mean and our cooking means. So you had to put into the top hole, larger hole, your pot, which you of course brought with you from Poland. They generally, I mean Russians, generally were telling people in Poland still, when they were taking us, take some pots, because you will need those. So in this one hole, the people saw that meant 8, 16 by 4. 64 people in one room, to one hole, to cook meals. Because the top of the stove was of the same unfired clay, and it was warm, but definitely not impossible to cook on it. So that was how it was. And we were soon enough organized to the working force. Everybody, 13 and plus, and up to, I believe, 60, was sent to work. 6 years of age, of course, was sent to work. And our job was to build new railway line. They were preparing themselves to the war, and they apparently needed a lot of birch trees to make plywood of it. We were being told that it is necessary in construction of some planes or, you know, factories for planes or something, some connection with it. And that this railway line was of the prime importance and so on, so on, so on. And we, of course, started from the lumbering. So at the age of 16, I was a lumberjack for a short while. And then we had to do whatever is to be done when you construct new railway line. There were some, the first one, of course, the lumberjack was a very, very unsharp hand, whatever it is.
So,
and one or two
axes,
and that was all. When it came to make the leveling job of the terrain, and sometimes it was 4 or 5 yards deep, we had to do it with shovels only, no other help whatsoever. And if it was as deep as that, what you had to do, that is the Russian was, to be precise, I believe it is in those days. First you had to dig about two times as wide the space as you needed for new railway line. And you dug it to the about 6 foot. Then you cut off sort of shelf, because you could not possibly, you know, if it was, let's say, 5 meters, which is 15 foot deep, you could not possibly to throw this earth from such a deep thing out. So the shelves have to be built. If it was very deep, sometimes trees, and you dug the next narrower space to the wider, and then dug from this space out to the top one, and that's how the very deep things were done at first. But it was at first quite narrow space. As soon as the sort of primitive railway line could be put, the small, how do you call it, containers on the wheels, that would be the, were supplied. And then we could, instead of doing those shelving and from one shelf to the other throwing out the clay, we could load it on those containers. But that was only when there in other space, the earth was needed